Father, as we are turning in the Scriptures and opening up the Bibles, I pray that You would open up our hearts and that our attention would be fixed and focused on You. Father, there's issues that we're dealing with. There's struggles that we're going through. There's questions that we're wrestling with. There's stuff that affects us, that we don't know how to handle it. We don't know what to do. So we come into this place acknowledging that You are our Lord, that You are the King, that You are the Creator and the Sustainer of everything. And we're Your creation. We're Your creatures, Your sons and Your daughters. And Father, I pray that as we open up Your Word, that Your Spirit would whisper in our ears and write on the tables of our hearts the things that You see would be applicable and helpful and right for each of us individually tonight. Lord, bless Your people. Feed our souls. Fill us with the Holy Spirit as we read Your holy word. And cause us, Lord, to have Your heart. Oh, Jesus, we gladly bow before You and ask that You would rule and reign and direct and guide and inspire and instruct our thoughts as we look into the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, beginning at verse 5. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go, return to his house, lest he die in battle, and another man take her. The children of Israel were being prepared to go into the promised land. They are not going as sightseers. They're going as soldiers. There are battles to fight. There are wars to wage. The enemy is formidable. The challenge is real. And so Moses here, inspired by the Lord, is giving instruction and exhortation, rules and regulations for the people as it relates to warfare, as it deals with battles. And that's what chapter 20 is all about. The rules and regulations concerning war. Inspiration and instruction for the battles that are about to begin once they cross over the Jordan River and go into the promised land. And that's why this passage is so applicable for you and me, because we too have a formidable foe, a very real enemy. We too are involved in war. We too are engaged in battles. We fight them spiritually. There are forces at work to wipe us out and do us in if possible. Spiritual warfare, as most of you know, is a very real factor in the Christian experience. And so this passage has lots of applications for you and me, because we too are fighting a very real battle. But what I want you to see this afternoon or this evening is something which surprises me. It's delightful. It's a bit shocking, actually, because in the middle of chapter 20, the text that we just read, it talks about, it deals with deferments. Those that would be deferred from the battle. Those that would not be allowed to enter into the fray. Those that were deferred. Of all the men of Israel that would march off to battle, there were three groups specifically that would not be allowed to go into the battle. The first group, we read about in verse 5, the officers would say, "Which of you has built a new house but has not yet dedicated it? You young bucks, you young guys that are pounding away day after day after day, building your house, but you haven't yet dedicated it. That is, it hasn't been completed. You haven't yet moved in. It hasn't been dedicated." The officer, which would be the general or the colonel or whoever, would say, "If you haven't completed your house and moved on in, hey, go home and do that, lest you die in battle and another person dedicate it and move in. You need to go home and finish your house and dedicate it, and then we'll take it from there. But this is priority, that you go home and complete your house," you see. The second group, verse 6, were those that had planted a vineyard but had not yet eaten of it. Now we know from Leviticus chapter 19 that when a man planted an orchard, planted trees, fruit-bearing trees, the law forbade him from eating of that fruit until the fifth year. The first 4 years were to be consecrated, dedicated. That is, they were not to pick from those trees or eat of those trees until the fifth year. And it would seem as though the same thing is true with a vineyard too. That is, it would take 5 years before you could glean from it. And so the colonel, the general, the officer would say, "Which of you guys has planted a vineyard, but you haven't reached that time, that year, when you can take from it, when you begin to get returns on the investment that you've made in it? Go home and do that, lest somebody else eat of your vineyard while you die in battle." The third group that was deferred from service were those that had betrothed a wife. We would say today they were engaged, but they hadn't yet consummated the relationship. She had not yet been taken, you see. Well, the officer would say, "For you guys that are engaged, hey, go back and take your wife. Enjoy oneness with her. And then once that's taken care of, hey, then you can come." But that has priority. I read these things and I say, interesting. The house, physically. The vineyard, professionally. The engaged woman, relationally. These things, listen, here's the kicker, here's the shocker, here's what jars me. Those things, a house and a job and a wife, family, were to have precedence, were to have priority over battling the enemy. Battles are real. Spiritual warfare, it's true. You know about that. I do too. But what catches me, what I'm amazed at, is God says, even more than being devoted to the battles in life, I want you to be delighted with the blessings of life. Even more than being devoted to the battles in life, I want you to be delighted in the blessings of life. We get so wound up, so uptight. Everything is intense. Everything is a battle. Everything is war. And there's a time and a place for that, obviously. But our Father would say, however, son, however, daughter, more than you're being devoted to the battle, I want you to simply delight in the blessing. I want you to enjoy your house. Has it been completed? Are you happy with it? Has it been dedicated? Have you moved in? I want you to have that. Even more than getting your sword and marching off to war, how about your house? See, I was sitting there yesterday morning, early in the morning, in my house where I often sit when the day breaks. And as things began to get a bit light, I was looking around, and you know what? I found myself saying, Lord, thank you for my house. I like my house. It's a real blessing to me. I like the way that Tambo's fixed it up. I've been there for 21 years in my house. I bought it, you know the story, many of you, kind of on the fly, in a hurry, at 10 o'clock one night, after looking at one room, I bought it. That's a whole other story, but it was one of those deals where I had to buy a house that day, so I did. But be that as it may, that's another story for some other time. But it's a simple house. And over the last 21 years, you know, we've enjoyed living there. Our family's got bigger. We've had 5 kids and all of that. And we've got to fix it up a bit. And I like my house. I like the way that Tammy's done it. I like the memories that are in it. All my kids grew up there. The family devotions we have around the fire. The things that we did and the good times that we had and the challenges, too, that came our way. It's all there. I like my house. Now, it's not a perfect house by any stretch. It ain't heaven till heaven, folks. And yesterday, you see, my good buddy came to help me with something. There was this spot that appeared in my laundry room under the linoleum. And it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like leprosy or something. And it was growing and all that. So you know, I thought it must be some kind of a leak. So my buddy came over and he's a carpenter and he's a handyman and a builder kind of guy. And we went underneath the house and there was no broken pipe. So there was no visible leaks. But then in looking for that, we pulled the insulation out. And as the insulation was pulled out from under the house, there it was, man, a gazillion ants. Ants. Oh, man. Makes me itch just thinking about it. These ants falling down, these ants crawling around, these ants made me want to cry uncle, believe me. There's some things about my house that bug me. You know, and there's some things about your house that bug you too, no doubt. Hey, it's not heaven till heaven. But having said that, I sit there in my house and I look around and I'm so blessed. God has been so good in giving me a place to hang my hat. A place where I can close the door and be with my family or be quiet a bit. A place that just works for us. It's not the biggest house by any means, but it works for us. It's the right place for me and Tammy and my family. God gave that to us, and it's been a blessing. God's given you a house too. Oh, it might be a mansion in the East Medford foothills, or perhaps it's an apartment there in Phoenix. Or maybe you're living in the back of your car in White City. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on. But I do know this. To each of us, the Lord has given us some place to hang our hat. And God says, I want you to enjoy that. It's not wrong to paint your daughter's room or to plant some flowers in the backyard. That's not a carnal thing to do. That's not a lack of spirituality. Well, there's battles to fight. There's an enemy out there. I don't have time for that trivial stuff. Wait a minute. God would say, hey, which of you have not dedicated your house, that has completed it and moved in and celebrated and enjoyed? God would say, before you take out the sword, I want you to go back home and enjoy your house. Amazing to me. And not only that, but he says, your job, your vineyard. I want you to extract from it, be blessed in it. I don't want you to whine about it, whine. I want you to glean wine from it, wine. Joy. God wants me and you to be blessed in the vocation, the profession, the work that He has us do. You may say, well, hey, John, how can I be joyful about my job? I just flip burgers for 8 hours a day. Rejoice. That doesn't take a whole lot of mental energy, probably, to flip burgers all day long. Be thankful. You can go home and you can really pour out your stuff to your kids, to your family, to your wife. You're not going to be particularly drained mentally. Or maybe you have a real mentally challenging job. Be thankful. It'll expand your gray matter, and that's good for most of us, believe you me. Be thankful for anything that the Lord has given to you. And He wants you to be blessed in it. He wants to prosper you through it. He wants you to take the wine, wine, the joy, the glory, the blessing from whatever it is that He's called you to do, wherever He has planted you. I love what I do. There's nothing I would rather do than doing what I do. Sometimes I hear pastors whine about how tough it is. I say, what are you talking about? There's challenges in what we do. That's true for anybody. But this thing of ministry is a total, complete joy. Jesus said, my burden is easy, my load is light. And if you've been called to be a mechanic or a burger fryer, a school teacher or a bank president, whatever it is He's called you to do, you too will discover, you too will find, hey, I don't have to whine about this. I can extract wine from this. A lot of people say, well, you know, this is unimportant, this job that I do, this profession that I'm in. I should be in the battle. God would say, hey, more than you're being devoted to the battle, I want you to delight in the blessing of the vineyard that I've put you in professionally. And it might take 5 years. Who knows? But enjoy. God has given you a skill or an opportunity or a job. Be grateful. Be thankful. It's not unimportant. It's a blessing that has higher priority than going out to battle the enemy. Work and celebrate what you do. And be good at the job that you're on. Be the best that you can be. Enjoy it. That's not unspiritual. That's not second best. God says, I don't want you out on the front lines of battle if you haven't first cultivated the job, the employment, the skill that I have opened for you or called you to do. Thirdly, He says, not only are you to finish and enjoy your house and flourish in your job, but to take your wife. It says here in our text, it says, which of you, verse 7, has betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Go home, lest you die in the battle and another man take her. Let me tell you something, brothers, fellas, folks. When you die in the battle, and we're all going to die at some time, unless the Lord comes first, will your wife say, oh, I miss him? Or will she say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I got rid of him at last. What will your wife or your kids say if you honestly were to die today in the battle of life? What would your wife, not what she would say publicly, what would she feel deeply? Another man would take her. Here the officer, the general, the captain would say, nah, you go take your wife. Take her where? Take her out for coffee. Take her out for dinner. Take her to Hawaii. Can't afford that Hawaii stuff. Can't afford that dinner stuff. Coffee, okay. If I get one of those little cards, I'll take her up there. But... man, there's budgets that we're worried about. There's battles to fight. There's ministry to do. There's people that have needs. Bunk. Not true. God says in the midst of this text that deals with battle and warring, he says, it's most important, though, that you delight in the blessing of your wife, that you take her. Take her. Be extravagant with her. Do crazy things that don't seem logical, that don't fit into the battles of life and the budgetary demands and all the rest. Just blow it on her. Take her to San Francisco, you know. Take her to Portland. Take her to Honolulu. Take her to White City. Take her wherever you can afford. I don't know where it might be, but take her. Take her and let her be taken by you and taken with you. God says that's what's important. More than the battles, more than the spiritual quote-unquote stuff that you do, more than the ministry that you're called to be engaged in. Unimportant, irrelevant, very secondary. See, when I die, when you die, what's going to matter is, what did our wives or husbands, our sons and daughters, what did they really think? What do they really think of me? What does it profit a man if he is a valiant warrior out there, but his wife and kids don't like him or have been hurt by him? Or have not received from him. What does it matter? This was in the Chronicle a couple of years ago from Bolonzo, Italy. Italian mountaineer Reinhold Messner, the first man to scale Mount Everest without an oxygen mask, was recovering in hospital yesterday after falling off a wall at his home in Italy. Messner, age 50, who was also the first person in history to conquer all the world's peaks over 26,000 feet, broke a bone in his heel, falling off the wall around his castle. Messner was trying to climb in after locking himself out. Now, here's the world's greatest mountain climber. Climbs Mount Everest, which is, Ross, what is that, 29,000 feet? Something like that. Climbs every peak over 26,000 feet. In history, what a mighty man. But he falls off the wall in his home. Breaks his heel. Didn't toe the line. Get it? Toe the line? Heel? No. What does it profit you? What does it profit me? If we accomplish all kinds of things in the name of ministry or whatever, but we're a heel to our family, we've lost the soul of our sons, of our daughters, because we're off the wall at home. This guy fell off the wall at home. Folks, listen to me. When all is said and done, what's going to matter is what your wife really feels and what your kids really feel when you're no longer on the scene. God knows that. Whatever mountains you climb, whatever amazing stuff you do, it's going to be inconsequential in comparison to the wife. Were you taking your wife out? Did you capture her? You know, sometimes people say, John, you know, who are your buddies, your close buddies? And I say, you know, I've got tons and tons and tons of friends. But I don't have buddies in that way. And there's a very simple reason. You know, I don't go golfing with the guys. Nothing wrong with golfing. But if I have 4 hours to spend, when I have 4 hours to spend, I would much, much rather spend them with Tammy than with a bunch of guys golfing. Nothing wrong with golfing. I mean, that's fine. But you know, when I have time, whenever I have time, my choice by far, I mean, I like you guys. You're great guys. But you don't compare to my wife, Tambo. Sorry. And if we have a morning or an afternoon or a day or a couple of days, hey, we're together. There's just no question about that. Why would I want to go golfing with you when I can be with Tammy Sue? Why would I even want that? You know, I mean, and you say, well, yeah, but that's your wife, not my wife. If you had my wife, you'd golf every day, you know. I know that that's, I know guys or gals can say that. Yeah, if you had my mate, you'd be out there constantly trying to get away. But you know what we're discovering? A whole lot of us are finding what Jesus said is true. Jesus said to me and Jesus said to you, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Take her. Spend time and money on her, even though it's impractical. Hey, there's wars, there's battles, there's budgets. I can't. Take her. Take your wife. If you haven't taken her, the captain would say, go home and take her before you worry about the battle and the enemy and all the rest. That's secondary. And as you take her, even though you initially might not want to, even though there's other things that perhaps you'd rather do, what you're going to find is what Jesus said is absolutely true. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You pour your treasure into your wife or into your husband, and your heart will follow. It might take a month or two or a year or more, but you follow that principle. You say, I'm going to take my wife. You might say, take mine. No, listen, you take your wife. I don't care what the situation might be or has been. You hear God's heart, the captain, saying, forget the battle. If you haven't been one with your wife, that's priority. Because God says, I know what a blessing it's going to be for you. And I want you to delight in the blessings even more than being devoted to the battle. See, I feel that same way about my kids. When my kids are engaged in the battle, when they're doing their chores, when they're mowing the lawn or raking the leaves or washing the windows, if that miracle should happen, you know, I'm thankful, I'm glad, I'm proud of them. That's wonderful. But you know, I don't want my kids wound up and uptight with a furrow in their brows and a scowl on their face because they're always at work and there's lots of concerns and burdens. I want my kids to delight in what I, their father, can do for them, in the things that I can give to them. Yes, there's a time for chores. Yes, discipline is important. Yes, there are responsibilities. But you who are dads and you who are moms know that you want to see a smile on the face of your child, a sparkle in their eye, a laugh from their lips, a spring in their step. You don't want them all wound up and uptight and growl and all that stuff. You want your kids to be blessed, to be happy, to be as delighted as they possibly can be. Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to His? And I go, I understand now, Father. There are battles. Mm-hmm. And they got to be dealt with, the enemies and the enemy. Mm-hmm. But more important than that, in your perspective, in your economy, is to just delight in the blessings of a house to hang my hat in, of a job that you've opened for me, of a wife that you've sent my way, that I get to take over and over again. Hey, I honestly, truly expect God to bless me beyond my expectations. And He has, and He is, and He does. There's no place I'd rather live. There's nothing I'd rather do. There's no one I'd rather be with than my wife and my family. That's honest to God, true. Why is that? Why do I expect that? Because I understand it's all about grace. God's riches, house, family, and job. And it's all about God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. I expect to be blessed in what I do. Not because of who I am or what I do, but because of who He is and what He's done. Grace. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. Say that with me. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. That's what grace is. See, a lot of people, a lot of us, a lot of times say, I don't think God's going to bless my marriage, or He's not going to bless my kids. He's not going to bless my home, my house, or my job because I'm such a sinner. I've got great news for you. Listen to what Paul had to say. I'll just read it to you. You can jot it down and look it up later. It's a great verse. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. That ye, through His poverty, might be rich. Listen, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich. What do you mean? Just this. He will bless me with the perfect home for me and my family. What He knows is just right. Where I will be content day after day, year after year, He'll bless me. Because He who was rich, He left His home. Jesus left His Father's home and came to this world. He who was rich became poor. He who left His home became homeless. Foxes have holes, He said. The birds of the air have nests, He said. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. He left His home and became homeless. The occupation that He had, He occupied the right hand of the Father. He was at the Father's right hand. He left the right hand of the Father. He was rich. His occupation was to be at the right hand of the Father. He left that place and He hung on the cross. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He cried from the cross of Calvary. He who was rich became poor. He left His home. He left His occupation. He left His family. Father, Son, and Spirit dwelling together in perfect family harmony. In intimacy and unity. He left that place and came to this earth. And I understand. The one who lived in the finest house, the Father's house, who had the greatest job at the Father's right hand, the finest possible family, he left it all. Didn't have a home when he came to the earth. Didn't have a job. He would depend on people sharing with him and giving to him. And when he would die, he owned nothing but the cloth, the robe on his back. And they diced for that. Didn't have a family. No wife, no kids. Mm-mm. None of that. He who was rich became poor for our sakes, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. What do you mean? You see, I'm the one that should be homeless. I'm the one that should be jobless. I'm the one that should not have a family. I know that because I'm a sinner. I'm a double loser. By the way, so are you. We're sinners. We deserve nothing. But Jesus gave all that up to come to us and die for those sins, that they're washed away. The past sins I've done, the present sins I struggle with, the future sins that I haven't yet committed, it's all paid for, washed away. So I can come boldly before the throne of grace today and expect to receive grace and mercy and help in time of need. I expect my wife and my kids to be blessed. My grandkids too, by the way. I expect my home to be blessed. I expect my work, my occupation to be blessed too. Not because of who I am or what I do, but because of who He is. He's my Father. And what He's done. He sent His Son to be homeless instead of me, to be jobless instead of me, to be familyless instead of me, that He would die in my place, that I might be forgiven of sin, that I can come boldly before the throne of grace. My point is this tonight, and I'm done. God wants you and me to enjoy and delight in the blessings that He sends our way every single day. Just to enjoy it. Sometimes we get so wound up. We're so engaged in the war. And God would say, son or daughter, that's fine. And there's a time. But more than being devoted to the battles of life, I want you to be delighting in the blessings in life. I want to bless you. Let me bless you. And embrace what I send your way. Where you live, the person you're married to, the job that you have. Embrace it. And expect me to bless it. Enjoy it. Excel where you work. Enjoy the home or the apartment or the pup tent that you have. And take your wife and rediscover the blessing that she can be. Vice versa too. I want you to delight in the blessings. I'm your Father. I want to do good things for you. Expect it. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. Even more than the battles. Enjoy the blessings. That's the heart of our Father. You might say, but John, I don't have a house or an apartment or a car or a pup tent. And I don't have a wife or a husband anymore. And I don't have a job right now today. Listen, God is going to bless in those areas. Meeting needs, changing desires, opening doors, if you will simply say, Father, I'm your daughter, I'm your son, I'm your child. And I want to be exactly where you want me to be, and I want to do whatever it is you want me to do, and I want to have all the things that you have planned for me to have, whatever it might be. And I'm going to relish them and celebrate it and trust in you. See, I'm going to thank you, Lord, for whatever comes my way. And I'm going to expect the greatest blessings that are possible in what you see would be best for me and my family based upon, Lord, based upon your grace. You're my Father. Maybe it's time for some of us to say, Father, forgive me for being so uptight and so intense. And I failed to just enjoy the place where I live, and the wife that I have, and the job that I do. Now I see, Lord, from this text, But that really is priority with you. Wouldn't it be something if every husband in here decided to take their wives somewhere special, someplace awesome, do something extravagant and grand and glorious? Does that sound good, ladies? Yeah, pressure, guys, pressure. You can deal with it, you're men. And what would happen if we said, I'm not going to go off whining to work. Well, what a dumb job. But I'm going to say, Lord, you gave me work to do. You must see it's best for me because I'm expecting the best from you. And so I'm going to do the very best I can and excel on the job site. I'm going to love my wife, love my kids, or love my husband. I'm going to enjoy the house, the things that you've given to me. I'm going to honor you, Lord. And just like if your kids would say, Daddy, Mom, you're awesome. Man, you let me have a bedroom. Wouldn't that be something? You let me have a skateboard, you know? There's food in the refrigerator. There's cereal in the cupboard. Fruit Loops. Awesome. Thank you, Mom. Could I have another bowl of Fruit Loops, please? You know, hey, you know, you parents know that that would be more meaningful to you and more fulfilling for you than somebody who's uptight and intense and trying to prove something. You know, your father's the same way. Yeah, there's battles. But again, more than being devoted to the battle, his priority is for you to be delighting in the blessing. Just enjoy the Lord. Enjoy him, what he's given to you, what he's done for you. He's been good to us. He really has been good to us. What I deserve is hell. You too. What we get is blessing. It's amazing. God's been good. May God bless you. Bunches. May he give you an ability in this coming week to see the multitude of blessings that he sends your way every single day. Big things and small things. Obvious and nuanced. May he give you the ability to see how much he cares for you. The good gifts he sends to you. The blessings that he's provided for each of you every day. And may you just delight in those blessings. May you just enjoy where you live and revel in the love of your family and be the best worker on the job, thanking God for the opportunity. May he be with you, bless you, encourage you, and blow you away with the things that he sends your way. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready to be blessed, because that's the kind of Father we have. In the name of Jesus.